So I'm going to do a little bit on my case. I was covering the case of missing Maura Murray. This is a pretty complicated case, interesting case, popular. If you guys want to read James Renner, true crime author, his book is True Crime Addict. He has a blog that he's uncovered a lot of details about this case. A lot of the police files, phone records, a lot of that stuff he was able to track down. He's actually gone and talked to a lot of the witnesses. So he's done a really great job, even though he's a kind of a controversial character in all this. You can't discredit his work that he's done to bring us the details that we have today. Other information sources I've got, the Missing Maura Murray podcast by Tim and Lance. That podcast is dedicated to her case, and they have like 95 episodes up to today. So go check that out if you're interested more in this case. Truth Seeker, that is a blog covered by an actual private investigator that's been working on the case for more than 15 years at this point, has been working with Fred Murray, her father. So he has a lot of boots on the ground. He's from New Hampshire, the area, Haverhill, where she went missing. So he has a lot of information, too, from the early days of her going missing, too. So that's where I got a lot of my information. But without further ado, I gave a little introduction about what the case is about. Maura Murray was a nursing student at UMass. She was previously attending the Air Force Academy. She ended up leaving. She got in a little trouble. There's a little controversy on what exactly happened, but she ended up leaving West Point, and she ended up getting into the nursing program at UMass, which, you know, a lot of her background I kind of connected with when I first learned about the case. It's very interesting. You can go down a lot of rabbit holes, but just her being a nursing student, her she loved cross-country track, long-distance runner. She was a hiker. She loved the White Mountain region, which is where my family, we have a timeshare out there. We've done some hiking out there. So a lot of this stuff really spoke to me, just personal, on a personal level. But she was 21 when she went missing. She was attending UMass. She was dating a guy named Billy Roush. He was at West Point. That's where she met him. They were kind of doing a long distance thing at the time. He was still at West Point. She was at UMass, and they were doing kind of a, you know, they would talk almost every day, twice a day on the phone. She, at the time, the weekend before she went missing, her dad was visiting. His name is Fred Murray. He was up there trying to help her buy a new car because she kind of had a beater. It was kind of leaking, wasn't running very well. So they were up there trying to find her new car at the time. She went out with some friends, a couple friends, Kate and Sarah. She knew Kate from track and cross country. Sarah was a friend also from another drama club or another different activity at college. So she was close to them. The weekend her father was visiting, they went out to dinner with Kate at a local pub, kind of talked about whatever, and everything seemed to be good. That night they were going to a party, or what's reported as a party. It might have just been a dorm college get-together at Sarah, her other friend's place. Fred brought them to the liquor store. They got some drinks, and then he let Maura use his car. So he was staying in a local hotel. Maura went off. They went to the party. Well, around 2, 3 in the morning, she ended up accidentally crashing his car into either a guardrail or ditch. And the cop responded. There was never any charges filed about alcohol. We don't really know much about that whole interaction.
That's crazy.
But she did. The car was pretty much almost totaled. A lot of damage.
Which is odd because, you know, it was so quick. It happened so fast, right?
Right,
exactly. Isn't that the whole thing?
And we don't know a lot of details about that interaction, but she was never charged with anything. She arrived at his hotel room. She was pretty chic and crying, feeling really upset because that was one of his newer cars. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he talked to her. They got it sorted out. The next day, you know, don't worry about it. Get the insurance forms. It'll cover it. Just got to make sure you bring those insurance forms Monday and we'll get it sorted out. And from all standpoints, Fred Murray, she was a really good kid, responsible, very driven. You know, this girl, this is somebody that was a long distance runner, very good with grades and school. She was in West Point. You have to be the top, you know, tier to go and get into West Point. You know, it didn't work out for her. Her older sister, Julie, graduated from West Point, and she was always a very big role model for Maura. She was always looking up for Julie. So, you know, got into this nursing program, one of the toughest schools in the New England, UMass nursing program, very difficult to get into. Hard to get in. And she transferred right into there. Very, you know, very difficult program, very demanding. So she was doing pretty well. So she got into that car accident. No worries. They talked about the next day. From all accounts, Fred said, you know, this is the most trouble she's ever gone into. You know, I was kind of upset, but, you know, we talked about it. It was okay. We're going to get through it. So no problems. There was a little bit of talk that a week before, a little bit before, she got also in trouble for somehow getting a credit card number from a fellow, not roommate, but in college, like maybe somebody that stayed on the same floor as her. Oh, yeah,
floor mate.
So she had somehow got a credit card number and ordered some food. So she was in trouble with credit card fraud for that.
I know.
So she was going through a couple things. Yeah. There was some talk that at West Point, she had gotten in trouble for shoplifting, like some lip gloss at the local BX, which is like the base shop at the store on base. So she had a couple incidents, you know, but overall, you know, still a high achiever, under a lot of pressure from her family, who's very high achieving. You know, there's been reports that the father expected a lot out of them. He expected them to be driven and working hard and motivated, and maybe he pushed them a little bit much at times. Yeah. Her sister was always a role model looking up to her. She was driven, graduated West Point. She always was, you know, excelling in basketball, cross country. She was always running faster than Maura. So maybe there was a little bit of healthy competition there, maybe not so healthy. So you have that aspect of their, or dynamic of their relationship. So after the accident, she gets back to her father's hotel room crying, really upset. Somehow there was a call on Fred's phone to her boyfriend, Billy, who was still at West Point, probably, you know, talking to him saying, oh, I'm so upset, just got in an accident. We don't really know. We don't have the contents of that phone call. So we know that happened. So now comes Sunday. You know, not too much activity. She's probably back at campus, getting back settled in. She has classes starting on Monday. Monday morning, Maura emails her professors saying that there's a death in the family that she has to take some days off, a week off, and she'll be back. Now, there was no death in her family. That's never been corroborated. That's just pretty much not truthful. Monday, as far as we trace Maura's activity, she took off. And she was driving towards the New Hampshire region. She did not tell anybody where she was going, as far as we know. She did not give any information to her family, her friends. She just took off. And the only thing that we have to go on and speculate on is her computer searches. She had searched a couple resorts in, like, Bartlett, Vermont, the White Mountains area. She had searched a couple places to stay at, but never actually booked anything. So Monday, about 7 p.m., she is in Haverhill, New Hampshire, which is in the White Mountains, pretty rural area, and she actually crashes into a snowbank. Prior to that, before she got to that area, she had been recorded on camera stopping in a liquor store, purchasing some red wine, a box of red wine, some Baileys, a couple bottles of alcohol. A lot of it seemed like it would be more than just for one person. So she was caught on camera purchasing that. And that was the last known sighting of Maura Murray. And she crashes into a snowbank in Haverhill, New Hampshire, which is about 2 hours from UMass where she left. This is an area that would be on the way to places like Bartlett, Vermont, places that her family had vacationed often. But nobody still to this day knows exactly where her destination was, why she left, or what her intentions were. Was she just trying to get away for a couple days? Or was she trying to go and harm herself? Was she meeting somebody? Nobody knows to this day.
That's crazy.
Sounds like she was meeting with somebody.
It does. There's a lot of speculation. There's so many rabbit holes in this case. That's why it's so fascinating. Her car, she hits a snowbank. Car spins out and she's stuck. A bus driver, Butch Atwood, comes by, sees her. She's on her phone, stops and says, do you need help? Do you want me to call the cops? She says to him, she looks shook up. She looks cold. It was kind of a colder night. It was snowing, winter. This is February. So she's shivering and she says, please don't call the cops. You know, I'm calling AAA. Now, there's no cell phone service out there, so that's a lie. You know, there was no AAA.
For someone, possibly.
Possibly. There's no cell phone service.
How'd she disappear so fast?
No,
it's a question.
So this is the question. So she's in the car. Butch Atwood would seize her, ask her if she needs any help, if she wants a ride, if she wants him to call the cops. She says, please don't call the cops. I just called AAA, which... no cell phone service, so there's no way she got in touch with AAA.
I've been in that situation before, and trust me, you don't, when you're in that situation for real,
and you're not
you're alone, if you're truly alone, you do not want to put your life depending on maybe, perhaps, getting a cell phone service if you can keep walking.
But would you also, because she wasn't one to get in a car with a stranger, would you also get in a car with a stranger? He was a big guy.
Must be someone she knows.
Obese, burly, big beard. He looked kind of intimidating. So a lot of people speculate, would she have gotten in with him? Was she just intimidated? She would never get in a car with a stranger. But when you're in that situation, desperate, no cell phone service, you know, at some point you're probably going to take a chance.
No, that's what I'm saying. Because so, I was in that situation. I got stuck on a road. Didn't realize it was not maintained in the winter.
Right.
One of those roads that cuts way through a really desolate county.
Mm-hmm.
No cell phone service.
They did.
They did find the people? Was it in the same location?
Same location. She was nowhere to be found.
Yeah, and it's scary.
He had eyes on her. He went and called the cops. His house was literally on the corner. There was another couple that lived right there that had eyes on the crash, called the cops too. 7 minutes. There's a girl. There's a flurry of activity by the trunk. She's right there. Butch Atwood was also calling, saying, I stopped, asked her if she needed a ride. His wife called. By the time the cops got there, 7 minutes, nobody there.
That's
gone.
Insane.
Gone.
That's what I'm saying. I could totally nobody believe that she would get in someone's car. I could believe it.
And that's
because it's so cold. You're so scared. I literally had someone who, in a van, they were in a white uncovered van. I did not know this person. I was so scared. I was stuck out there by myself with no cell phone service. You know what I mean?
And it's normally, like, you probably wouldn't get
I would not.
But
he was like, oh, let me push your car out with my car.
Yeah.
So I let him help me, but he, like, moved my car for me. I let him get in my car. Normally, I would never do that, but I was so desperate. I was so scared. I was afraid I was going to get stuck out there and die. Or
but
to
normally
keep
you wouldn't. But when you're in that situation, you know,
that's
desperate
saying,
calls and for desperate measures.
I can believe she would have gotten in the car with someone.
And
or,
that's interesting,
especially if she's not sober.
There's a lot of theories. When they found her vehicle, there was some, a Pepsi bottle, I believe, with some red liquid. And some of it had been spilled out, and it smelled like red wine. And she had purchased the red wine. So they assumed maybe she was drinking. There was also, there's a lot of different theories that maybe that was antifreeze, because antifreeze can be sold red. But they're assuming that because of the purchase and because the red wine was missing. That's another thing. The alcohol that she bought, a lot of it was missing.
And of course, you
know. Her phone was missing. Her backpack was missing. None of that was ever found. So a lot of people just assume, well, she was out there to kill herself. She was depressed. So she went out into the woods. But there was never any footprints on the fresh
no
snow.
No body found.
No body. It's not a place, like, there's not a lot of places to go. So long story short, when the cadaver dogs got out there, scent dogs. The scent dogs followed her trail up until up the street to the middle of the road.
That
so what
like
they
she
said,
got
she
car.
Got into a car.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like. Yeah.
So there's so many theories. People say she went out into the elements and ended up dying to the elements, trying to hide from the cops. Some say she was going out there to end her life anyways, because it's a beautiful place that she loved. And she was just under so much stress because of her car accident, her shoplifting. And she was just going through all this emotional stuff. She didn't tell anybody where she was going. But the stuff in her car really didn't seem like, she didn't pack up all her stuff. She packed up like she was going somewhere for a couple nights.
She didn't say goodbye to anyone.
But she didn't say goodbye. She, you know, didn't tell anybody where she was going. So some people think she might have gone to end her life, but no body's ever been found. And they searched those whole woods, people that know those woods like the back of their hand, no body. So the scent dogs followed her scent to the middle of the road. So the most likely theory they think is that she got into a car and it was either an opportunistic killer or somebody that maybe she OD'd. Maybe they went to a party and, or maybe
they didn't know how to handle
opportunistic
it.
Killer. Because you know those places out in the wilderness that small population, like, you know, small towns, people move out there to be away from people. There could be, you know, some people that would prey on a young girl.
What if they were grooming her? What if it was someone she knew and she got in the car, she trusted them?
Well, that's another theory.
They were grooming her.
Right. Because I'll get into it next time.
Perhaps maybe one day silence her after doing something. And you don't let someone go if you do something terrible to them because you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
So it's interesting. They look for victims who might be intoxicated, under a lot of stress, not thinking correctly, acting intrinsically, acting off of adrenaline, not using their higher brain to think. Because I went to that class the other day and explained that your higher brain, when you're stressed and emotional or not thinking right, your higher brain, blood flow between your higher brain and your like what they call your lizard brain. It's like basically all your instinctual reactions to everything, or emotional reactions to everything. The blood flow between them decreases on testing. So they've proven that you're actually not thinking straight when you're acting emotionally, or you're not in your right state of mind. Mm-hmm. And so you do things that you wouldn't normally do.
That's interesting.
So it just makes you think, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Are they looking for, of course they are. Of course they're looking for victims. Of course they're looking for people who are not, you know, not feeling like themselves, feel out of place, you know, intoxicated perhaps.
Right.
Vulnerable.
Definitely.
People who need help. People who can't say no.
Right. Yeah.
And it just is crazy to me because, like, I was in that situation. That's why I mentioned that.
You've been there.
Not to, you know what I mean, say, oh, me, but it just made me realize when you're saying this story, I remembered that now that you're telling the story. And I thought, oh my God, I'm like, you know, you always think, why would this person get in the car with this
person?
Right,
they would never do that, right?
But when you're like a teenager, if they have a gun pointed at your head.
Here's a personal story about someone that, you know, wouldn't normally do it, but when you're in a situation.
You just worried for your life. You're like, am I going to freeze to death out here? It's the middle of winter. You know, I have no cell phone service. My car's stuck, because that's what had happened. My car had gotten stuck, and I needed this man to push me out. Thank God he ended up being a wonderful person.
Right.
But he could have been a terrible person. He could have been a predator and taken such advantage of that situation. No one would have ever known where it would have gone. The last people to have seen me would have been my home health aid clients who told me to go down that road.
Right, right.
So maybe they would have found me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they never would have found me in time. And that just like me, when you're saying this case, I'm thinking, oh my God, like how many... How often does this happen to people every single day?
Right.
Where you could have gotten in a terrible situation. Thank God the people who helped you or whatever had been good people.
Right.
But what happens when you end up being that one person who gets the not so good
statistic.
Person? Yep. The statistic.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's hard to, you know, she was already putting herself. There's two different thought processes. There's, you can put like so many risk factors, like you're in a vulnerable situation, you're in your own unknown element, and you're upping your risk for an opportunistic killer to take advantage. But there's also the thought that opportunistic killers are so rare that what percentage would have to have been there that night for someone to come upon her and be a predator? But maybe, you know, also there was talk that maybe it didn't start out that way. Maybe they picked her up with good intentions and something happened. But there's also the thought process that maybe she was out there meeting somebody she knew, and that's what happened.
That's kind of what I'm suspecting.
There's kind of a story, and this is just hearsay. She might have been dating or seeing her track coach who, you know, was a teacher. There was also some internet searches. Now, granted, she was in the nursing program. She was doing mother-baby. But there were some internet searches about pregnancy. But that could have been for her nursing class. But she supposedly might have been sleeping with her track coach. And now this is a weird coincidence. If you look up, there's a UMass outing club cabin that is literally like 5 miles from where she went missing, that crash. The UMass outing cabin is right there on that route.
Who would be staying close by?
Now, she wasn't in the outing club.
But did
she know somebody running the outing club, being a chaperone for the outing club, or know somebody that knew that cabin?
Or could get the keys
it's
to that
right
club?
On the way. They don't know where she was going. Now, there has been searches on her computer. Bartlett knew Rivermont. She could have very well been traveling to a place that her family knew. But how much of a coincidence is that UMass outing club cabin in the wilderness? Mm-hmm. Like, right on that same route. Like, literally 5 miles where she crashed her car and went missing. Why would she
be drinking and suddenly...
I mean, if it's UMass property, wouldn't they have some sort of logbook?
They do.
Staying there?
They did.
And they didn't have anybody staying.
There was some people that were kind of connected to her, but not really. Nobody knows anything. Back in 2004, the records were kind of sketchy. But I found that very interesting. Because this track coach, you know, he had ties and affiliations with the outing club. And there have been searches in her computer about pregnancy.
Also,
but she was in her mother baby program, so she could have been searching for nursing, so we don't know.
It's weird that she'd suddenly be, you know, having all this emotional distress.
Right.
Suddenly under so much stress. Mm-hmm. Of course, school is stressful already. And I know that's a hard program because it's the only program out of 11 I didn't get into.
Yep.
And I knew as soon as you said it, oh God, this girl's under so much stress.
And she's having a mental break.
Yeah, acting out subconsciously.
There was a high-pressure family, a lot of stress, a lot to live up to. There was some talk about her maybe being bulimic.
Mm-hmm.
There was talk about her having some emotional distress. She had just crashed her dad's car. You know, she had a little bit of an alcohol issue, it sounded like.
To cope inappropriately.
To cope, yeah.
I honestly don't see her getting in the car with somebody that she knows out there. I mean, if she gets into a crash on the side of the road and there's no cell service, how would she even contact anybody?
Right, unless somebody was following tandem.
Unless they knew she was going
to
be there.
Or they talked, because there was a call she got close to, what's the place? I forget. It's New Hampshire, it's a college. It's a pretty famous college. In New Hampshire, pretty pristine, prestigious. It starts with a C.
University of New Hampshire.
It's Colby.
Oh, Colby.
So around Colby College, around that area, she did have an incoming call. So there was a call, and I don't remember how long she talked to the person, but she did talk to somebody while en route, and
before after the accident.
Before.
Okay.
And then
that's highly suspicious. Then she's probably telling them where she is.
So there's an Oxygen documentary, 6-part documentary on this case that just came out like a couple years ago. So they're trying to break down, get rid of all the hair, because there's so many, you know, everybody has a theory. There's so many rabbit holes. So this documentary tried to get rid of all the frickin' speculation and just get to the facts of what we know. To get rid of all these extra narratives and all that, because there's so much. And they drove the same route that they believe she took, and there was an hour and a half extra from when they drove it. So they think that she stopped at a diner. We know she stopped for gas to get to buy the liquor, too. But there's an extra hour and a half that's not accounted for.
She might have been stopped somewhere eating, calling on the phone.
Was she talking? Was she eating with somebody? Was she talking to somebody?
Arranging things.
Did she just want to get away?
In an hour and a half, so.
Yeah.
But it wasn't drink. But some of it's missing.
Oh, some of it's missing.
So that's another thing. If you're, you know, hey, can you pick me up? Are you going to take the liquor with you? Maybe.
Maybe.
But all of it was missing. But we know
they killed her and then took it. They're like, oh, free liquor, you know?
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Did they not realize that that would connect them to the case? Did they not want to leave it behind? Were they drinking it beforehand? And maybe he thought his fingerprints were on it or something. It's just weird. It's weird.
And I don't think it... You know, from what the documentary, when they got rid of all the hearsay and the narratives and all the different rumors, they think the most likely case is that she got into a car with an opportunistic, somebody that either was looking for a victim or somehow something happened. She got into a car and then something later on happened. And
felt he needs to kill her.
Right. Or, you know, because James Renner is the best, you know, the best cased. He's the best knowledgeable person on the case because he wrote a whole book about it. He had a blog. He did the boots on the ground work. He was obsessed with this case. But his theory was she purposely left and started a new life in Canada, which, I mean, there's no indications. He's come out and said that I don't think that actually is the case. But for a long time, he romanticized the case that she went off and started a new life, and she planned all this, which I don't believe.
No, I think someone was being opportunistic, whether it be someone she knows, or a lot of the time it is someone you know, or someone who, you know, just happened to stumble upon her.
The rabbit holes.
There's so many.
It's just weird. The phone call thing and the hour and a half thing is weird.
Because it makes sense, you know, especially if she was pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, maybe felt ashamed. She had all this other stuff going on, you know, the
Right.
Family pressure and everything that maybe she wanted to run away.
And did she say, was there fear that she would come out and say something?
And maybe she won't. And
he's a teacher, he's faculty, so would that...
Also, was he married? Right. You know what I mean? Did he have another family just to say, oh, I want to run away with you? And then maybe he was like, I have a family. Like, no, I'm not going to allow you to ruin my life.
And was his job on the line?
Yeah.
He was a professor. That would have been automatic grounds for firing, for taking advantage of a student.
Yeah, that just sounds awfully sketchy.
And just the fact that the UMass cabin is 5 miles down the road, even though she had no ties that we know of to the outing club.
So quick. So quick. Weird.
Typically, too, if, like, I know you guys were saying, you know, possible suicide going up there and stuff like that. Right. Typically, somebody would leave behind something.
Something to say goodbye. Yeah. Closure for people.
Because what they feel guilty. Do is they would run away because they don't want to actually face it. You know, face the family, you know, and do it. So they try to get away, but they still leave something, some sort of note.
Like a closure thing. Because people who commit suicide feel, the only reason why they don't do it sooner is because they feel guilty. You know what I mean? Right. They feel guilty for... Or what have you, you know, maybe they were trying really hard to be okay and they just couldn't do it anymore, but they leave something behind because they know that, they know what's going on. You know, there's a reason why they weren't doing it sooner.
Right.
They don't want to leave someone behind. And it's just weird to me that she wouldn't leave anything, whether it be belongings, you know how there's a lot of signs before someone, often some people say there's no signs. Mm-hmm. Most of the time it's just they go out and observe.
Yep.
She didn't leave anything behind. She wasn't giving anything away suddenly, you know. She was having some mental health problems, you know.
Somebody's lab coat that she did give back. She did leave, like, a lot of her dorm room was kind of, like, packed up. But a lot of people say that's because they came back from the holiday.
Oh, okay.
But she brought her nursing books with her. But before she left, she emailed her professors and said, I'm going to be taking some time off. I had a death in the family, which is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So, very strange. She didn't tell anyone that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's come forward, and her best friend, Kate.
That's why I'm wondering. Maybe she was trying to go get, like, an abortion or something because she was pregnant, and maybe, or maybe she wanted to start a new life or something, or she didn't know if she'd be back.
Right.
Wasn't healthcare cheaper in Canada, too?
Maybe. Yeah, it is. Right. My friend had twins, and she went there for the NICU, and then she moved back. Yep, she moved there to get the universal health care, and so she'd get, basically, her babies had to be in NICU for, like, months, and so they paid for it, and then she moved back to America after.
Yeah, typically when you pack light, you're in a rush.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, so she only had a couple things on her, but...
Yep. She must have been desperate, you know what I mean? And it's just weird that her mental health, like, declined so suddenly like that with all the stealing and the stress and not being able to handle school. What triggered that? What happened?
That's
maybe an illicit relationship. Maybe a pregnancy. Maybe. And, that makes sense. Okay, wow.
A little to another extra tidbit of information. She had a job. She worked... kind of somebody that was, like, not security, but she would check IDs as people would come into the dorm campus, and she would check IDs and just sign people in, I guess, for that specific dorm. And she had a boss there. She worked kind of late, probably until, like, 1 or 2 in the morning on weekend nights. So before she went missing on Monday, she was doing a shift, and she, about maybe midnight, received a call on her cell phone. She became agitated. She was crying. She was unconsolable. Her boss was, like, asking her what's the matter. She was almost catatonic.
Oh.
And the boss had to take all her things and help walk her back to her dorm. And she kept saying, what's wrong? And all she could say is she was crying and she could not be consoled. My sister. My sister. But she wouldn't go into detail. So the boss was like, if you need something, like, let's go to coffee tomorrow. Talk to me. And she wouldn't say anything. She was catatonic almost. And she brought her back to her dorm. And the next, like, over the next couple of days, that's when she took off.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
And her sister out and said she thinks what the phone call was about is she had called Maura that weekend and said that she had relapsed on alcohol. Because her older sister, Kathleen, was an alcoholic. And she had a husband or a boyfriend that was he kind of got her back into drinking constantly. Every time she got out of rehab, he'd be right there, like, getting her to drink again. So he was kind of bad influence. So she said she thinks it's because she called Maura and said that she had gotten out. And she got out of rehab, and her husband immediately took her to the liquor store. And she relapsed immediately. So she thinks that that's why Maura was so upset. But would you be catatonic about that? And just shake it, like, so you couldn't even talk? Yeah. Maybe.
Or maybe she knew, so maybe her sister told her something about something she'd been going through, and after that she just disappeared, and you kind of know.
Right.
And you know something happened, but you can't prove it.
Yeah. And a lot of these cases, like, do the things leading up to the disappearance mean something? Usually, I mean, probably.
Usually they do.
Usually they do. That's where you've got to start.
It's just like there's almost no motive behind the behavior. The behavior almost doesn't make sense with it.
Right.
And obviously she's a very prideful person. She, you know, went to nursing school. She's very smart.
Yeah.
She was very motivated. She doesn't want people to know what's going wrong in her life.
Right.
She's not going to tell people. Mm-hmm. And there are probably people who know stuff, or they're probably the police know stuff that we don't know.
Exactly, because it's an open investigation. So a lot of times the police aren't going to release the details to the public. It's 15 years old now, cold. 2004 is when she went missing. And there's really not been any leads. I mean, besides what we know about her whereabouts, you know, her sister came out. We know that conversation. No body, and her vehicle's there. That's all we know. We never found any trace of her.
Did they find any other evidence of DNA or anything in the car?
Nope. They found the alcohol. They found stuff that any young girl would pack to go on a vacation. You know, body wash, shampoo.
So it sounds like she was trying to leave for a while, but not forever.
She wasn't packed for a while, though. She was packed for like
a week. That makes me think, I mean, I'm just theorizing, but it makes me really, what it sounds like is maybe she had been talking to someone when she stopped for that hour and a half trying to figure out plans.
Right.
Perhaps she was leaving for a while,
mm-hmm.
especially if there was pregnancy searches and rumors, and she wasn't acting, you know, she was acting out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not feeling like her normal self, feeling she couldn't handle all her responsibilities, but she already had a lot on top of everything.
Yeah.
And then suddenly she disappears without a trace. After breaking down, it's just weird.
Right.
I see exactly what you're saying. There's so many rabbit holes.
So many.
It's like, are they distractants or are they all kind of pointing towards the same thing?
Right.
The same
idea. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm thinking it is, but at the same time, it's like,
I've gone back
there are
and
so
forth.
Many things that would debate it.
I've gone back and forth.
Yeah,
and I've been covering this case for almost like 5 years.
There's a million different options.
I go back and forth.
I keep going back and forth between one or two options.
I think maybe somebody picked her up, somebody not so good, or something happened.
You don't want to think it's random, but
the more I listen to, I'm like, maybe she knew somebody. You know, maybe she told somebody where she was going there. She was meeting somebody, and it's somebody she knew. Mm-hmm. I can't help think about, later we learned about that UMass cabin being right there on the route. I mean, it's right there. There's no other reason she'd be going on that route other than her family had stayed in that area. They hiked in the White Mountains. So it's an area that she did go to as a kid a lot. So it's not random.
Mm-hmm.
But that UMass cabin being right on that route.
It's strange. And then also the fact that they say most of the time it's someone that you do know or very close to.
Most of the time. Like how, I don't know the percentage.
It's random.
Most of the time it's not random.
Those are other students that were staying at the cabin, right?
Right. But she was not part of the outing club, but did she know somebody in the outing club? Was she seeing somebody like a chaperone, like that guy that was the track coach? I don't know if there's ever been a link to him in the outing club, but she bought a large amount of alcohol. Was that just for her? Or it seemed like it was a lot for just her.
Yeah, just her.
It seemed like she was bringing it somewhere for other people.
Yeah, maybe to get away from her situation, escape.
Yeah. But she didn't tell anybody, as far as we know. Nobody, and if she did tell somebody, that someone's not talking.
Yeah.
Because they know something that we don't know.
It's just things aren't adding up. There's got to be some more information.
And we're 15 years down the road now. No answers. You know.
Wow.
You know, beautiful girl. Beautiful girl. Young woman. I don't want to call her a girl. She's a young woman and very intelligent. And there's just all these theories and... It's a very controversial, almost malicious case online because everybody has their theory. People are ugly to each other online about
it.
Yeah, you know, and it doesn't make sense because we're all just trying to find the truth. You know, we should all be on the same side. There shouldn't be sides. You know, it's not my theory is right, so this is, I'm going to fit all this.
Nobody knows in the end.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to try to fill in all this narrative just to fit my theory. It's all about finding freaking Maura. You know, it's not anything to be, but it's, she went missing right when social media came out, right when Reddit was becoming popular, right when Facebook became popular, you know, so I think
it could have even been, you know, her finding somebody online, beating somebody on that.
Yeah, true. There was probably a lot. Yeah, there are.
It could be.
Oh, Facebook is unreal.
I never thought of that.
Facebook, Twitter. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Tinder. Yeah. You have to be careful. Human abduction.
Think about it, there's so many different people that could have been involved up to random people we don't even know.
Right.
True, when AIM was a thing and you could just be messaging people by screen name.
I remember that.
And that's
The AIM days.
And that's how her friends.
That's how
we found out something was wrong because she had an away message. You guys remember the away messages?
Yeah, It's like you'd be gone a certain amount of time and you'd leave a little message. And
the cops infiltrated her AIM and made an away message saying, if you know anything, call, blah, blah, blah. Her friends thought she made that as a joke. Her friends back from home, her high school friends, because Maura had a sense of humor, so they thought this is the police in UMass, like, if you know anything of Maura's whereabouts, so they thought that she wrote that as a joke. They didn't know until a little bit later that, oh my God, she's missing.
That's awful.
So, that's kind of my story. The next time we get together, I'll kind of go into a little bit more about cop conspiracies, local people involved in the case, some weird findings.
I definitely gotta watch that documentary and also read up on it a little bit more because I'm interested, but I don't want to make a decision of what I think could have happened.
I've been reading about it for 5 years. I still don't know if I can make a decision. Mm-hmm. It sounds more and more like somebody picked her up in a car, but whether that was somebody she knew or a local person that just happened upon her, I don't know.
Yeah, and did they start out with that type of person, or did it just happen by accident?
Right, exactly.
Stuff happens, you know.
Do you have anything else to add, Sam?
I have nothing else to add, but I thought these cases were very interesting, and it's very interesting to hear about all these different things that can happen in our local area.
Right.
You know, that you might not have known about, even though you grew up here, or maybe you did, and, you know, this is kind of a trip back in time for you, but... please call in with anything that you're interested in that you'd like us to cover, or if there's anything else you'd like to add to the cases we discussed. We appreciate you listening.
Yeah, write in, tell us your personal stories. Visit us at www.demandingexploration.com. Search us on Facebook. We're on Instagram now. We will be on Twitter soon. And have a good night, guys.
Yeah, have a good one.
We'll see you soon back
Thanks
in the
for
basement.
Listening.
Back in Danielle's basement.
Bye, guys.
Bye.